Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Which of us are born free? According to a study by the Institute of Race Relations called Born Free But Still in Chains, the born frees, people born after 1990, will increasingly become more involved in violent protests and abandon democratic institutions due to ongoing political and economic alienation. Now, just a few important facts from this report to put our discussion in perspective. And just to give you an idea of what they mean by chains. So, the unemployment rate among males in this generation, aged 15 to 24 years, is 67%, and 75% for females. That's one. Two, 1 million born frees are living with HIV/AIDS. And only 25% are receiving antiretroviral treatment. Thirdly, 29% of the prison population is aged between 14 and 25. And lastly, violent protests have almost doubled in the last 3 years, and it is suspected that this generation will become more and more involved in this form of expression. So this is really scary stuff. And we'll be tackling it today with a born free called Mfundo. Mfundo was raised by a mother who did domestic work. And he's currently studying to be an architect at the University of Johannesburg. Tools, why don't you introduce our guest?
So we have the wonderful Mfundo Zwane. I was his first year lecturer last year.
Oh, yes.
And he really showed a rigor and tenacity that I haven't seen in any student before. I sort of always kind of noticed that there were a lot of things that he was going through, but sometimes they're hard to articulate. And so he's yet to articulate those things himself. So thank you so much, Mfundo, for coming.
Oh, yeah. It's really a pleasure. And I love the way you're praising me right now.
Thanks. It's so great to have a born free among us. We haven't had someone of your generation.
Yeah.
Until now. We didn't make the cut. We're part of, what were you saying earlier? We're part
sandwich.
Of the sandwich generation.
Yeah, which is good, right? Because we also fall into the people who struggled and the
people who... So do you want to explain for the listeners who don't know what the sandwich generation is?
A sandwich generation is actually people who are in between the people who faced the struggle and the people who were born after Mandela got into power, so to speak. Actually, there's somebody that said to me, a whole lot of people think that ANC is actually in trouble because people that actually are voting now were the ones who actually experienced the struggle. So they feel like ANC still needs to be in power because if any other party comes into play, then we're going
to
be in trouble.
But increasingly people aren't going to be able to relate. And actually, I read somewhere that more born frees vote for the EFF than they do for the ANC.
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you relate to that?
I actually do relate to that.
That's because interesting. Why?
It's because of his topics that he comes about. Not to say that I voted for him.
It's okay, by the way. Don't be scared. This is why I feel like people are always so scared to declare that they voted for the EFF.
Yeah,
there's no fear.
Honestly, I don't vote. Well, not anymore.
Why?
Because I feel like I'm this middleman who is actually being sort of used to fight this battle against parties that I don't know what the problem is between the two.
So that no one actually really has your best interests at heart. They're fulfilling certain agendas
that
amongst each other.
And I've always said, because people will guilt you, right? But I've always said that rather ruin your ballot and make a statement that way than to feel obliged to pick from the lesser of evils. Do you know what I mean? If there isn't a political party that speaks directly to you, for the most part, I think it's almost irresponsible to vote.
There's one thing I've noticed with the strategy that they use. As soon as the 5-year interval is about to finish, they start doing things for everybody. Everybody's coming in. Not to mention any kind of political party, but that's what happens.
Do you think people are falling for it though?
Yeah, people have fallen for it a number of times.
Do you think that they will vote for them anyway because they feel like they can't vote for anyone else?
You know, us as black people, well, not all of us are, but the other part of the sandwich, which is the people who actually experience the struggle. I'm thinking, because I'm like in between, so I can sort of feel their struggle and the other people. So I think that to them it's about, okay, at least they are doing something. Because back then we didn't have anything at all.
Do you see what I mean by the lesser of evils, though? You know what I mean? Mm. It's almost like it's you're not rising to the occasion or creating higher standards. You're just creating slightly less poor standards.
Yeah.
Which is like quite an interesting thing to do.
More comfortable, you know, slavery. What I mean?
So when people are used to suffering, they're susceptible to that because their standards to begin with are so low. And what you do then, or what you can do, is take advantage of that, right?
Mm. Or like the strategy. I figure it's one of the strategies Sun Tzu used.
The Art of War. Yeah. Sounds like, yeah, it does sound like something that would be in that book.
Because it's like formed in a, this is like a massacre for, like, it's a mess thing. It happens in masses. And for the only way you can do that is by attacking certain and bits, like the pawns first. You start with the pawns first and then you penetrate through, because this needs to happen a number of years. So the opposition party, I won't lie, this was a good move when Julius Malema and all of them went to school and stuff. Like, I'm not politically inclined because I have architecture.
No, it's all good.
Anyway, yeah. So these people went to school. I think that was a powerful statement, so to speak, because they came back with all of that and it says something to the youth. Because I was having a conversation with one of my friends back there and he's like, all that, all in Nyaupe and whatnot. He's like, no, but I mean, if somebody could be a president at a, like, without having a grade 12 certificate to begin with, what other extents can you go? But then not having to deal with that whilst as a president, that means something else for the people in shacks or whatever.
Absolutely. Okay. Mm. Well, on that note, let's actually get into the discussion. Mfundo.
Esenbali.
Mfundo, which of us are born free?
There was born free that I encountered last year, right? He was actually a first year architectural student. He didn't really note certain stuff that happens in terms of this whole race thing still being in play. So he was flashing about him traveling. You remember that conversation we had?
Yeah.
Traveling and whatnot, flashing it all around. And something that really happened, like, he's really privileged, right? And I won't lie, I desire to be privileged. That's why I'm working this hard. So he stays in res the whole 6 months without attendance or anything like that. So he's taking a whole tuition fee. He's taking everything that has to do with staying alone and having all of these things still being given to you.
Yeah.
Takes them straight down to the drain. So
I won't lie, student life offends me in so many different ways. Part of why I had to get out is because I feel like, honestly, students are simultaneously the most valuable and the most wasted intellectual capital that we have. But anyway, go ahead. No, it's like things like that, and that's not uncommon what you're saying to me. You know what I mean? Even back in my day, which was like a while back. Well, not too long, but a while back.
Yeah. not that far back. So we're young stuff. So.
Like, just the amount of wastage. You know, even... yeah, man, I think... I don't know. I think our academic institutions need a more practical component that, like, brings students, all students, much closer to what's actually happening in the real world and on the ground. Because I think there's a detachment that happens when you're in an academic environment that causes you to waste. you know, because you have no concept. You lose your concept of the real world, I find.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I had this conversation with one of the third year students about this. She says that she grew up in an academic environment and also was, not was, actually is from a really difficult background. So one of the things that she said was that the bone frees are actually not inclined with what's really happening out there, because straight from school, everybody has money to pay for your tuition and whatever, like, I mean, from high school. And then immediately they go there. They're not streetwise. They're not mature enough. They don't know how to make moves. Something like a simple thing like sending an email. They don't know how to do that. And there's a whole lot of things we never learned.
A practical component to academia in this country, because I think that our need for socioeconomic development is so high and we can't afford to squander intellectual capital or to delay it for, you know, 4 or 5 years at a time. Because I also love that, you know, I think students are such change agents, and we've seen recently that when they do mobilize, they can do big things, right? And I think that's such a, it's the fearlessness for me at that age that can be incredibly valuable if it's channeled in the right way, and if it's I think in tune with or in sync with real world issues.
I actually think institutions instill a certain level of fear.
Yeah,
it stifles that.
But increasingly, so we boil them for 4 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like boiling vegetables.
Mm.
So slowly you strip them of their like their flavor and their nutrients.
You know, institutions is made for a certain type of personality, and that personality will thrive, and then there's certain other personalities that will sort of fall off, and then you have people like the Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates and things that were, you know, that fell off because it just didn't accommodate what in my mind I sort of consider as the average, you know. They have to make it as average as possible because most of society has been geared to be average, you know, through primary school and high school. So the ones that just don't fit in are either bottom feeders, but actually maybe brilliant, you know, creatively or geniuses.
I honestly could talk about this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, because actually she fits right into it.
Okay. You know?
I really could. Anyway, point is, I dodged the bullet. You haven't. This guy you were talking about.
Yeah.
He's on the inside, but not really. So you were still explaining his story. And how, and then I'd asked you which of us are born free. And so you're going to relate it back to that question.
Oh, yeah. Born free is, like, just to sum this, all of this up, I think born free is actually a waste because they don't really know struggling. And I also blame their parents because really blame the parents exactly, but I blame how they bring them up because they know the struggle. They know what it feels like not to have something. So as soon as their kid pops up, dad, I need 1, 2, 3. They're like, yo, okay, I don't want my kid to feel this. So they try make it happen as soon as possible. But then what they are not really realizing is that they're actually growing some sort of a fungus at the back of their minds, because if they start doing that, then they waste a whole lot of resources and then the stats get to change.
Okay. Right. So, because I think there's this definition that's widely accepted, that's used in the report that I referred to early on.
Mm.
Born frees are young people born post the struggle, so post 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's an empirical definition, right? It's like a very
scientific
definition.
Yeah.
I want a more philosophical definition out of this. So I want you to tell me which of us, do you agree with that definition? And almost of the people who are born free, quote unquote, who of them really are and who of them aren't?
Sorry, rephrase the question.
Of the born frees, who of them are really born free and who of them aren't?
And you know what, to me, actually, I feel like you answered that a little bit in your previous response, because what you were describing was privileged people, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, in a way, we somewhat fall into the born freeze because we're 89 babies. But our level of access, our level of resource, all those sort of things limit our ability to be free. So in a way, your response to that is speaking to privilege.
Yeah.
And I was even wondering, while you were answering that, were you referring to people that have already been free? Because that's what it sounds like.
Basically, like being privileged is something that I've always not dreamt about, just looking at it from a distance, but not being able to actually reach it.
What is privilege to you?
To some, privilege up is actually, I'd say, money.
Were you born free?
No, I wasn't born free. Not really. I'm a sandwich type.
Yeah? But no, in actual, apart from just being the sandwich type, do you feel in your personal situation, not in your demographic, but your personal situation, that you were actually born free? If you say that privilege is something you've always wanted and never felt like you had, and you equate privilege with being free, were you born free?
In that sense, I would say yes and no. Yes, because I had to take a whole lot of responsibility. I still do to an extent, but nothing is actually really spoon-fed to me. But with privileged people, everything, well, let me, the born freeze, rather. They actually spoon-fed a whole lot of things. And that doesn't actually grow you up. You don't necessarily grow up, but you may experience what life gives to you.
That's interesting. Okay.
You may get what life gives to you, but then to an extent, right? Not the whole way,
so,
but to an extent.
Privilege can actually shackle you.
Yeah, it does.
Huh. You see, that's a whole other definition of you know, born free but still in chains, right? Because I think people might think that means, oh, you're underprivileged and you don't have access to opportunities. And, you know, you live in a household where both parents don't earn a lot, and maybe you're more susceptible, vulnerable to all kinds of social ills, right? So I think that's what people think when they think born free but still in chains. But what you've said now is privilege can also be a type of oppression.
But shackles speaks to limits. So, you know, if a privileged person is privileged enough to not need to access a certain part of themselves, like a certain resilient part of themselves, isn't it because they've already got access to it, that they don't need to put a certain fight in to be able to access it? So is it a shackle, really, if they aren't those limitations?
I wanna ask this to Mfundo, because I think it is, but I want him to answer it. So what limitations do you feel like people born with privilege have that you don't?
I think I sort of have the skill, if I may call it a skill, I sort of have a skill of knowing how to open specific doors. Because
doors that they can't open.
Doors that they can't open.
What if it's already open to
you?
But he's saying doors they can't open.
Oh, okay. So what I experienced and what I am experiencing as of now is that in school I have to come or work against the person who actually receives a brief, and then he only thinks, oh, okay, what should I buy for this brief? And with me, I think, oh, okay, which warehouse do I need to go to so that I can take the scraps from there and actually recycle it? So that is already creating a door for me, because now eventually I'll become a master recycler. But then for for the other student or the privileged person, it's like, I know what to buy, I know. But then
so
what if that...
Money is a dependency.
Money,
yes,
sort of is a dependency at
that
the moment.
That doesn't always work in your favor.
Yeah, it doesn't. No, not always.
And just to contextualize quickly, so with briefs, often we have to make models. So we have to buy model materials, which are usually extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We usually have to do a lot of printing as well, which is also very pricey. So
equipment as well.
Could we say that money stifles creativity to some extent?
I think it does both. Yes, Pemfundo.
Do you feel like you'd be as creative if you had a lot of money? As innovative, as driven?
No, I don't think so.
No?
He answer...
But
can you answer that fairly, considering that you don't come from a place of privilege?
No, I don't think you can answer it precisely. I think it is very speculative. But... I agree.
No, because the thing is, I would have maybe agreed a couple of years ago, but I have seen money enable such incredible creativity as well. So,
but I think money goes an even longer way if creativity was enabled to begin with.
Okay.
Thank you. That's where I was going.
Yes.
Because... hence, I'm saying if I become a master recycler, that means I'm extremely creative. But then that creativity is already enabled in my head.
Okay, so right? your creativity extends beyond your actual work, but also the creation of the work, the access to resources. So there's levels of creativity.
Yes,
I see.
And I suspect that ideas and businesses, projects that are bootstrapped to begin with, are more powerful when there's a capital injection. So when you put money into projects that are bootstrapped really, really well,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I feel like they really fly.
Yeah, actually they do, because now there's a whole lot of cost implications that need to come in play. And as soon as that happens, I mean, even now, me as a student, I can fail just because I wasn't able to print something.
Yes.
Mm.
Just because of that. So, like, having that money, if I... had that money, I'd probably go an extra mile as well, which gives me a distinction, maybe, so to speak.
Okay, so then can we say that freedom is open to interpretation? So in many ways, you were born free.
So no closer to discovery.
And
yes, not.
In many ways, you weren't, but I think we have nuanced the definition of freedom a little bit, because I think it's lazy to think about it one way, and I think a lot of people do. So I love all of your.
But don't you think that there's this struggle and violence and that sort of stuff, because we're I think quite honest about establishing what freedom is. I don't think as a country we've assumed that we know what it is, and we've pinned it down as one thing.
Yeah,
you know?
But I also think as a country we need to change the way we look at underprivilege.
Yeah.
In quotations. Because I think the way that your attitude toward that thing makes it debilitating. To you.
Oh yes, actually I think you're right, because with me not being privileged, I took responsibility of knowing a whole lot of things. From where I come from, I could say that I know English better than a specific hand of people, right? But then it's only because I took responsibility of that. So freedom doesn't only become something that somebody gives you. You yourself as a person, you need to take that into play, like take that
Absolutely.
As your own.
And I think too many people tell that story after the fact. In retrospect, I look at my struggles and my lack of privilege, and you know, this is what I was able to make of it, right? And so in retrospect, that struggle was an asset to me. But I think more and more we need to convince people who are in that struggle and haven't come out on the other side to use it to their advantage. We need to find ways to better send that message so that their self-image is not one of poverty.
But do you think there's some forms of struggle that are so, so deep and grave that you can't come out of it? Do you think that there's a struggle like that that exists?
With me, I don't. you know why? It's because, like, for me, the mind is actually a powerful tool. The most powerful of all, if I may say that. Because, actually, this is out of context, but just to maybe lay something for a second. I had a conversation with one of my ex-colleagues, right, about God being here and God not being here. Mm. Anyway, the story was, how does a person at 6 years of age saw his own mother swallowing a grenade and just blowing up out of nowhere? Mm. Like, that is what's actually happening up Africa. Mm. But then how does that become a chain or having no freedom after that? Hence, I'm saying a mind is actually a powerful tool, because some of the people that come from there, we actually see them here. Mm. But then obviously they can't tell you, this is what I went through, this is what I go through.
Absolutely.
But they're actually here and they're making good.
And that's why we need to be investing more, I think, in mindsets.
Yeah.
Particularly in a country like ours, you know, where we have so much potential but so much catching up to do. And there is this gap in resources.
Mm.
You know, we really, really need to be investing more in mindsets and the way that people view themselves and the way that we treat people, because that informs largely the way that they view themselves. And poor does not have to extend to your confidence and your mind, right?
Yeah.
It can, and it should be limited to how much you have in the bank. But once it becomes a self-image, it's all-consuming. And so I like the idea of changing those narratives. And I think, you know, a platform like this can really help to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
And so, Mfundo, you know, just referring to your saying that you don't feel privileged at the moment, you are not privileged.
Mm.
Where did you get your aspirations from then while you were growing up? So your aspiration to become an architect?
Honestly, this is so going to sound a bit off or whatever, but me growing up, I knew what I wanted to do. I don't know where that comes from or whatever incepted it in the beginning, but then I already knew what I wanted to be. I mean, my parents set me down and said, okay, boy, what exactly do you want to do? Mm. I was like, I want to be an architect. And I said, oh, okay, it's okay, it's fine. Then they took me to technical high school. With finances being troublesome, first of all, if a kid is 6 years old, and with what is happening now out there, kids are now doing this whole Bexa thing, which are the born freeze, right? Mom...
Bexa thing, tell me.
Bexa, they're Bexing now.
What's a Bex?
Yeah.
A Bex.
I was just going to pretend I understood it. Okay.
No.
Oh,
okay, let's
sorry.
Unpack that.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually asked.
Thank you.
Because
we are not born free.
Uh-huh, we're sandwich.
You must research. The sandwiches are actually sort of privileged, because now they can fall into different both of categories.
I just picked up woke. So
yeah, she's getting me.
Okay.
She still used to say rock and roll.
Ooh.
Oh my god, why just would saying. You expose mm-hmm. me this way? Okay. Anyway,
you exposed yourself.
Traitor. Okay.
Let me,
Bexa.
Yeah. Bexa is whereby these kids join in crews, and then a specific crew says to the other crew, challenges the other crew financially, basically. Which means now a ball will be turned, like, will be fired. Like,
what?
Those people, they actually.
What?
You guys don't know. Serious.
No, don't. Clearly do not, please.
Oh, okay. There was an ad that was done by, I think it was Nando's, because Nando's has actually, Nando's is
very
good,
like,
with
culturally relevant.
Everything, right? Mm. So, they had an ad about these two kids. Was it? No, sorry. It was Ultramel instead. So they had this ad about these two kids coming at each other. Mm. And then this other one pouring Ultramel on his feet.
Mm.
And then telling him how much money he's got, how privileged they are. But then they don't realize that only that is actually affecting the other people who surround them.
Shucks.
I'm talking in matters of ikasi, because ikasi, right, this is what happens.
Mm. Ubexa, right? Okay.
Ubexa,
so
like
one crew. So give us a practical example of something that would happen. One crew approaches another, and then what happens?
And then when they get there, it's a situation of buying KFCs, buying Ultramel, and just throwing it at each other's faces.
At each other.
Yeah.
Oh, that, my goodness. That this is a real thing.
It's real. It's real. Like a
generation
full stack.
Is,
a full stack of hundreds. You'd see burnt live, in front of you.
And you're like,
what?
You see, this is a problem with your generation, hey?
But, no. I'm a sandwich. I'm a sandwich.
You just made it.
Y'all are so excited.
You know what's
I
really...
I can't even deal.
You know what really hurts me in this? What really hurts me is that mom has to go into the house, like into somebody else's house, or has to be a general worker, right?
Okay.
And they have to work for all of this, day and night.
That's like really, that. Really sad. And I mean, what age groups are these crews?
Usually a bit under 19. Me and my siblings actually had to like work different jobs at different times.
Yeah, what age?
Just to put in at age 19. Okay. No, sorry, 20.
Yeah. Okay.
So I wasn't really that young.
Okay.
So that also became something that actually pulled me back, because if I'm working somewhere and I'm miserable for days.
Where were you working?
You know,
wow, you look pained just in that moment, just thinking back.
Like, seriously, have you ever went to work for straight 16 hours?
Oh, what kind of work is that?
You come in, you sign in.
Is what this is.
This is outside of architecture.
What job was that? Mm. Girl, you got a lot of aggro.
The way, girl.
Okay,
need to hold back. Okay. Ignore me.
I'm so angry, girl.
Somebody's going to drop the mic right now.
All right, but he was actually referring to...
I was referring to... I'm not sure if I should expose this.
Just the industry. Fine. Yeah, just the industry.
Aviation industry.
Okay.
Aviation. Mm. What were you doing there?
Now, me saying what I was doing there will actually...
Expose
everything.
I just want to know what kind of work.
You're still poking in the wrong direction.
Fine,
wrong places.
Fine. Protect.
Yeah,
the
like...
Man. Shop.
No, I'm not protecting them. I'm protecting myself right now.
Fair enough.
This is about me.
That I can condone.
All right. So, at 4 o'clock in the morning, you sign in. Sun is not even in your face. By nighttime, you're going out. The sun is still not anywhere in your face.
Oh my goodness! You know that's one of the biggest causes of depression.
Mm. It is.
Is never seeing the sun.
Wow.
That's why they talk a lot about how in the UK, in England, the rates of depression are actually high in that regard.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whether and sunlight, just sunlight, has a huge impact on the way that you feel. You guys should know that as architects.
I do.
Yeah, we totally absolutely know that.
But we have to listen, because there might be, you know, there might be information we don't know.
Okay.
So we have to listen.
We don't need to listen to statistics, okay? We need to know the power of the sun, okay, whatever.
Oh, my God. I'm a fun cog anyway.
but I want to ask Mfundo, because you don't have a car at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were like coming in extremely early and leaving very late, what were your
travel arrangements? How far did you live from work and from school?
Or the place where you were working?
When last year?
No, when you were working.
When I was working. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was 45 minutes. To an hour's drive.
Okay, and did you use public transport?
Public transport, yeah. Still the same situation what happened last year, but then that was a bit...
Crazy, yeah.
It was a bit crazy because I had to actually get up from home on a...
Where's home?
Monday, in Davidton.
Mm.
So we catch a train from there, and it's straight literally somewhere around 2 hours, 3 hours.
Is that apartheid geography?
It really is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying right now.
Apartheid. 99.
Experiencing all of that actually made me stronger, because those are the, like those type of situations.
Yeah, but they actually I'm make sure, me. Friend, sometimes drive you were weak, me. Eh?
I was because I wonder I was.
What time are you waking up?
4 a.m. Sometimes, obviously, because I need to work from the time I go from school to home. I still need to work in between interim, right?
You need to tell it like it is, though, hey?
Yeah.
Let me tell it like it is.
And okay. And during winter, it's a lot darker at that time.
I remember I spent like a good 2 nights alone at the study center. And that place is only glass, tile, and concrete. So you can imagine. You can imagine how... You see this thing that I'm wearing now? It's my favorite right here.
Oh my goodness.
It took me through a lot. I won't lie. It took me through this thing. Right here. That's you don't know. So I had to wake up on a Monday, go to school, get there late, and then be my head have my head chopped off because I'm late.
I'm sorry. It was me sometimes. I didn't know.
You don't have to feel bad.
I didn't know. What an agent.
Hey.
I know. I'm sorry.
Bali. Tunkude is dangerous.
All of these agents, they are exposed.
Coconing and exposed. Uh-huh.
So.
Coconutting.
I have to.
She said it.
She said it.
Okay.
So you have to go. Okay. And then have my head chopped off about being late. And me not sleeping not being able to sleep when I get home.
Oh,
working all night.
So many
I get
layers.
There, I'm tired, right?
So many layers.
This is only a Monday, mind you.
Uh-huh. No.
And then I still have to sleep at school at the study center.
Terrible.
Now imagine if...
No.
You know, I'm laughing about this today.
But this is what I'm telling you, right? Is that when you said just now, oh no, it made you stronger.
Mm.
And I think that's often the narrative you hear once people get through something.
Yeah,
and then it gives you a false idea, you know, when you're like on the other side that maybe, you know,
it
every
wasn't
day.
That bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad and every day you're going to feel stronger. No, and oftentimes it's rubbish. Sometimes it's just, it's awful.
But you know, one of the things, students, like you made me realize, Mfundo, is how it's not that easy to actually tell authority what you're going through.
No.
And I'm still not quite sure why. I mean, I think it maybe has to do with a certain level of shame that comes with being from a poorer class or whatever. But that's sort of a struggle that I found in a lot of students that really struggle is that there's a lot that they're not prepared to tell us. Do you know why? I mean, from your point of view, like before when you were getting in trouble, why were you choosing to not say
anything.
The whole story?
Okay, with me personally, it's because I like handling my situations myself.
You don't want to make excuses?
Only until I see that, okay, I really can't.
It's that black pride.
Hey.
It's that no, but then it's also being like man enough to say, hey, you know what? I can actually tackle my situations.
Hmm.
And then if and only if I see that, okay, this is like actually hard, then you get help.
Yeah.
But I can tell you now, that made me so strong that I can realize far ahead if something's going to be a problem or not.
But did it teach you at all to ask for help? Because do you think at least sometimes you could have saved yourself a lot of stress and a lot of time by simply reaching out?
To an extent, I don't.
Mm.
And 50% I don't, 50% I do.
Okay.
50%, mm-hmm. Yeah, because if I do that... most people think, nah, he's lying. Because most students actually lie.
Oh.
I will... Students!
It's so true, though!
Boy, you
students.
Cried wolf and ruined it for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So those tears, now, they're falling on every student. True. So now, if I'm coming in and then I ask, and nothing is really showing, because obviously I'm there, all looking confident and stuff.
Yeah.
They can't really tell what's happening.
That is so true.
In my, you know?
But this is what I try to tell to a lot of black guys. And
look poor. They'll believe you.
What? Don't toss up. Don't moisturize that day.
Oh, it's us.
Ashy.
Mbashi.
Ashy is Ashy. Best.
Yes. Yes.
No, that is not what I try to black guys. This is a challenge I feel I found that a lot of black guys have is asking for help. And I always try to explain, and I can understand why, to a large extent. You know, I think that pride is coming from a very vulnerable place,
yeah,
because they've been so vulnerable. But I always try to explain that actually, you know, there's such strength in being able to ask for help. I don't know if you can relate to that at all.
But I think you have to also trust the person that you're asking for help.
Yeah.
From, you know,
yeah,
and if it's very difficult for you to know whether someone or something can be trusted,
mm,
even if you truly need it, it's really hard to go there.
Mm.
Mm. Because some people are actually like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Some people don't care. As long as you have what they want.
Yeah, this open door policy, this open door policy in institutions is rubbish. Rubbish in my experience. Honestly and truly, they must stop that thing now, right? They must stop hunting that thing just because, I don't know, it sounds nice in their values and in their manifestos. No, no, no. So many, even at high school level, so many lecturers, so many teachers just don't care.
No, they don't.
They simply don't.
But I think they do fall on the institution's duty to listen to every single student and to send them through the right channels in order to get help. So there's those rules written in place.
Do you see, for me, there's a certain attitude that can even dissuade you from going through those channels.
It's
if the
true.
Person you meet in the beginning is dismissive and doesn't seem to care,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It puts you off forever.
To actually add on that, I actually found the strength to go ask. And after that, the links that I had to walk from there, they were actually,
didn't they
like, there was a lot of
send you
them
in circles.
They sent me in circles.
Yeah, I remember.
Quite a number of weeks.
Yeah.
And you were the first person I spoke to, hey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually spoke to her about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then from her, went to an authorized person, authority. And then from there...
Are you saying I'm not an authority?
Oh, no, 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 don't take it.
No, you're not.
I just float.
No, we are not authorities. Yeah. I'm proud of that. Nobody an authority.
I get what you mean. Sure. Yeah. I get what you mean.
Okay. So when I got there, there was other connecting rings that I had to just...
Yeah, we actually found the holes in that system. So on paper, it looks
sweet. That's the
sweet.
Whole point of bureaucracy.
It looks like it will help. Yeah.
That is the whole point of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're serious about helping someone, help them. Nah, just make it as easy
simple
and uncumbersome as possible. If you are
thank
serious.
You.
Yeah, but sometimes
but then,
helping can get you into trouble. You know?
I know.
I can also understand their point of view as well, because students come up with all sorts of things.
Yeah.
They're actually creative about where they come from.
Yeah.
So if they come with, if the boy cries wolf and then they don't check, they just help anyhow, and that could look as if they're actually like...
Isn't there some new technology that can help us here? Aren't there? Can we like ask the CIA for like...
satellite footage.
There's got to be a way around
this. There has to be
walking
a way.
In circles is definitely
though.
Not the way, but yes, I agree. It is. It's a very difficult balance to strike.
Funda, how many of your family members have studied in any form of tertiary institution?
University, none.
Are you the first, my man?
I'm the first. Yeah. Oh, you know what? What?
Yay. It's your time now.
As
really
I said, it's my times. but they studied in colleges.
Dude, you're going to break the cycle.
That's what
no
I'm
pressure.
That's what
M, don't.
No, he is. Can
this
you not
girl.
See?
It's not really pressure. I'm not really pressured.
Oh, okay, okay.
This human
okay, we can talk
us,
about this.
Larger
okay.
than life. Yeah, okay.
So they did go. They went to tertiary institutions such as colleges.
Hmm.
Was Rao a university or... I don't know.
You just exposed your age.
Yeah, okay.
When I was in university, Raoul was UJ. And it was...
Yeah.
It was essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But they changed
it. Even
and then,
before.
And then they included Vitz Technicon.
Mm, I'm asking this even before they actually changed Raoul to...
Yeah, it was a university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Then in that case...
Who went to Raoul?
My brother. My big brother.
Oh, what does he study in Raoul?
I think he studied something, accounting.
Okay.
So you're the first generation of those that have gone to tertiary education. So your parents and their generation and the generation before have not.
No.
Wow.
It was always, my dad was a taxi driver. What is this?
No, we have been dying to get a taxi driver, an ex-taxi driver on the show.
Oh,
so literally, sorry. Like,
taxi driver and domestic worker.
That is that. Anyway, we'll talk later. Now we'll talk later.
That's a funny combination, right?
It's a very interesting combination.
Such an interesting combination.
Very, very interesting.
It's a powerful combination.
Yeah.
Such power in that.
Wow.
Like,
but
wow.
I can only reflect now because actually passed away in 2013.
Oh,
so
sorry about
God
that.
Rest his
so
soul.
Sorry.
Nice.
It's just so amazing because you know taxi drivers essentially bring a high volume of workers into, you know, like thriving industry and whatever.
Mm.
And then domestic worker, you know, holds a house together.
Between domestic workers and taxi drivers, I'm telling you, like, you can build a nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That's pretty amazing, man. That's a powerful legacy.
And that's
I'd be very proud
drive.
Of that. Yo.
I can understand your drive so much more now.
Because of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant, man.
Since you put it that way, like my dad used to wake up at 3 a.m. and by that time he only came back home around 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole hard worker thing type of situation, I guess
I took
it from
him.
That's
the real hustle, man.
I guess. Mm. I guess I took it from him. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that's so interesting. So you didn't even really, did you actually, it's a rather question. Did you feel like that's just a natural thing you should do? Or did you feel like, oh, but it's still a chore, a burden because I've got my colleague here who just drives in, so probably wakes up at 7.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, seeing your dad, did you think that, yeah, that's just something, it's a normal thing, it's just something I've got to do? Or?
No, not at first, rather. At first, I was always questioning myself because around the times when my parents weren't really seeing eye to eye, there was a whole, hence I said, there was a whole lot of people in the house, so you can't really hide anything. So overheard almost everything.
Yeah.
So questions that were flying around, such questions as why don't you go get a job?
Right.
Hmm.
Right. Only that as a kid I'm like, oh, okay, if he gets a job then he'd probably be back earlier or whatever. But then apparently he saw it in a different way.
Because those, I don't think taxi drivers think of themselves as
working
employees.
For somebody. No.
Yeah, they're very much self-employed, even though there is a taxi boss. And you can just tell that by the way they drive.
Mm.
You know, that whole attitude is not like a subservient one.
And he was his own boss. So, yeah.
Absolutely amazing, man. And tell me, did you ever feel ashamed of what your parents did?
Did?
Mm.
What do you mean, did?
Did you ever Did you ever feel ashamed of your parents' jobs?
Look, I'm not really happy.
Mm.
I'm not really one to say, ish, my parents, at least they had a job.
Mm.
I wish they had something better because if that was the case, then I'd be standing here a different person.
Have you ever lied and said that they do something else?
Yeah, in high school, actually.
Yeah, high school does that to you.
High school is something else. I would lie.
It's like Lord of the Flies. I don't know if you ever read that book.
Yeah, because like a whole lot of things, like they break you.
Yeah.
Right? Because we'd have conversations about, yo, hey, like, hey, Peterson is caffeine and done.
Yeah.
And then you just see like a lunchbox, like a full breakfast meal, right? Full breakfast. And then when like you're coming...
Which is delicious, by
which
the way.
Which is delicious. It's my favorite dish now.
Amasi. Don't knock that delicacy. However, it's not nice if you don't have a choice, I agree.
Yeah,
if you don't have a choice, then it's not nice. And, well, now I've actually learned to not care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's become my favorite dish. That way? It is. Yeah. Apparently, as you grow, it's the more happier
Look,
you will
it's
be.
It's true. Mm. I mean, in part. A part of you never leaves high school.
Mm.
Honestly, there's always a part, like, that little part inside you that will always have the same insecurities and the hang-ups that you did in high school, for sure.
It comes back up when your 10-year reunion comes up.
Yeah.
You remember.
But I think with age, you gain the tools.
Yeah.
And you gain perspective. Mm. So that, you know, it's not that you forever silence it, but you know how to...
Manage it.
To manage it, you know?
Mm. Okay. Flow right into it.
Yeah.
And this has been an awesome conversation. I'm going to throw one last question at you.
All right.
Oh,
I feel like I should... brace myself. Do you throw
it? Yes, brace yourself.
Do and don't. I mean, don't brace yourself too much. I like the answers that come off the top of your head. Okay, so if you could give one gift to the born free generation in South Africa, what would it be?
Yo.
No pressure.
Yo, just one.
None.
Or I can just go. Like a list.
A list.
Oh, a list.
Sure. If you have a list, most people don't.
It's what
I underestimated you. Underestimated you. All right.
First on top, read. Read. I mean, if you can, read the hell out of those books.
Yeah.
I mean, until you understand.
And subtitles
it word by
don't
word.
Count.
Yeah, subtitles don't count.
Facebook posts.
Oh, thank you. Neither does tweets and make yourself your own role model.
Oh, I love that.
Own
compete
role model.
With yourself.
Like, yeah, yes. Don't compete with somebody else because you don't know, first of all, how they got there.
Mm.
And if you ask them personally, they'll probably never tell you how they got there.
Mm.
So if you compete with yourself, being you yesterday, and by the way, you were younger yesterday than you are today.
Mm.
So, which means now time is actually like flowing.
Mm.
And if you are your own role model, then you'll always be able to give yourself that drive. It's, Gwanja, I have things to accomplish in my life. Another thing, have a visual reminder.
Mm.
Oh.
If you get to a point whereby you now know where you're going, have a visual reminder that says to you, hey, you actually have a road to walk.
Okay, what's yours?
Mine.
Mm.
Mine is through architecture.
Yeah.
I still have a whole lot of things and a whole lot of ideas that I cannot share now.
Right.
But for me to get there, I still need... to be an architect first.
Mm. You're an evil genius. Hoarding your IP.
On that visual reminder, it should be something really personal.
Mm.
But since I'm an out there type of person, because of whoever I am, I'm like, yeah, go big or go. It's my time now. Mm. So I'm like...
It's your time.
Literally, after I actually took...
Oh, so he has a key around his neck. I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. Mm. A whole lot of people actually asked me, why a key though?
And it looks like a regular key for a regular
it
door.
It is. I'm planning on upgrading it to a skeleton key.
Ain't nothing special about that key. So you better,
in the meantime...
You need to sell me on that key.
Well,
dog.
It opens some doors. Uh-huh. Now, coming back to me being able to open doors, this actually reminds me, and sometimes gives me that confidence.
It's probably a key he stole to a public toilet somewhere that now only he can use.
A public toilet.
And that's definitely the kind of thing I would do.
And that's real power.
It is, because you lock it. And like, hey, nobody's going to come in here for a while.
Although it's public.
It's public. It's mine now. It's my time.
It's my time.
Ownership.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry. So, it's actually that, and it's a sort of like a, I don't know what to call it, but my name is Mfundo, right?
Mm.
And then if you translate it directly to English, is education.
Mm.
So now education is what I'm wearing around my neck, which also reminds me. Now, this is my visual reminder that is specific to say, hey, bra, education, you need to wake up, or don't fall now.
Nice.
You need, like, it's also something that actually gives me that extra push when that drive doesn't come into play. Mm-hmm. It's that thing, that catalyst that says, hey, dude, and this is always on my neck unless I'm bathing. I sleep with this thing.
Dude, that's incredible, man. Do you have a last one?
Love yourself, man.
Aww.
Love yourself. There's no one else that would actually love you besides
you know, no one is going to love you if you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Simple. It's like...
advice for all of us.
Yeah, it's so wishy-washy, but it's less so coming from a guy who's incredibly masculine. Black masculinity, to say that, is actually incredibly profound. And by love yourself, I mean, do you want to expand on what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, whoever you are, whatever you do, whatever situations you experience.
That sounded a bit like TKZ.
whatever you do. So, nice one.
Yo, well, you're not that born.
Nice reference.
I'm glad you know some TKZ. Fair enough.
No, no, I'm a 90. All I'm right. like somewhere right. here and there. Like, whatever situations that you experience, whoever the next person is, whatever you go through, will. Well, whether now or later on in life, actually have an impact.
Dude, you'll be like, man, just dude, let it fly. you're such an exemplary born free. You know, it's a privilege. I am not the most tolerant of young people nowadays.
She talks like she's 50 and she's an
80. She does. She does.
You're an 80.
No,
nine.
She basically probably. Throws me in the mix because we're 5 days
Say,
apart.
What?
No, guys, no. Yeah, no, I'm not though. Hey,
I'm young and vivacious.
I am.
Oh hell yeah!
Outlier for sure. Like I.
Sorry. Can I just like sneak this in?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Keep as one of the advices, whatever. Mm-hmm. Keep that kid playing inside
that kid
of
I
you.
Like.
Yeah, oh, the kid you will always were. Exactly. Keep that kid.
I love the kid. I hate the adolescent.
Hey.
This one.
Yo, but I love
you
the
hear
kid.
That I hate.
No, really, adolescence is really, it can be quite a terrible condition.
I like the distinction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that we need to bottle is childhood. You know, and the thing we lose touch with, and I think particularly in adolescence, because you're in this phase where you're trying to be older, and I hate anything that's trying to be something that it's this not, and that's not. My problem with adolescence.
But are children going through childhood now, you know, with all this technology and
Ooh,
things that distract
girl, that's
them?
Another conversation.
And so, you know, how do they know how to keep something that they're not going through?
No, it's true, but it's for me, it's just, even with all of that stuff, you know, and I spend a lot of time around kids. In moments, you know, there's not always a screen. There's not always, I don't know, something to sophisticated to play with.
Yeah.
You know, in those moments, in between those things, in the pure conversations you have, there is like a beauty in the way that a child sees the world.
Mm.
And everyone comes with it.
Absolutely, that needs to be harnessed. Okay. Well, child, it was great to talk to you.
Youth.
Hey.
Thank you,
the
youth.
50-year-old.
Youth member.
No, really. Really, that was an incredible conversation. You're the first guy we've had on the show, so well done.
Oh, yeah.
To you, yeah.
Glad you're, to be here.
Yeah,
thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, you're prolific now.
Round of applause
really
to
are.
Myself.
You really are. Yeah,
he really loves himself.
Hey, like nobody will.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. That was a really, really great chat. That's it for me. Talisa, any last words?
Mvundo, firstly, I would like to say thank you so much for coming. And you continue to be an inspiration of mine. You know, I see your level. Really, I see your level.
Oh,
of
now you're shocked.
Hey, he's
the confidence
guy. your raw will and talent, and your inability to hold back and see anything as an obstacle is really profound. And I absolutely believe in your success, and I believe that every future vision you have is absolutely going to come true. And just as a last thought, because Mbali has been enjoying the word violence.
I'm going
to make you cry right now. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Oh, do you have something violence. Violent for me? I actually...
Don't break the studio equipment.
I know. I hate actual violence, but I like the idea of using it philosophically a lot.
Yes, yeah. Because violence does mean a lot of different things.
Okay, so you got something, girl?
Yeah, girl.
You got me, girl?
Our beloved Frantz Fanon once said a quote, violence is man recreating himself, which I found quite a unique way to reimagine that
friend
word.
Friend is violent.
Friend, friend, you've got to give it some time. Hey, you can't just churn it
throw
out.
Throw some comments after that. Okay, okay.
Can you say it again?
I'm going to say that again. Violence is man recreating himself.
Yo, yo. Love it. Love it.
And with that, we just want to remind you about our Twitter page. Because we're so terrible at this. It's at Made Project, M-A-I-D-E Project. And we're on every Thursdays at 6. We love you.
No, I really do like that quote. And I like that it's open to interpretation. And this was a great chat. Thank you, as always, for joining us on the Made Sessions with Cliff Central. Looking forward to hanging out again soon. Cheers.
Cliff Central Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.